The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damon Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Thank you all so much, guys, for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode. And if you didn't, sorry. But this week, since the new release of Black Phone 2, today, technically when you're listening to this, it's today, we're going to review and talk about the first movie of Black Phone. And what a great movie it was, because I loved that movie. I had not seen it when it first came out. Since Black Phone 2 was coming out, I was like, dude, I need to check this movie out. I'm so behind on all my horror movies. And when we decided to do it, I was like, dude, I got to check it out. And it didn't disappoint. Of course, you know, it's directed by the son of Stephen King.
Joe Hill.
Yeah. And of course, that, you know, you could tell where he gets his chops from, you know, like, you know, where he gets his... The way he does stuff.
Yeah.
That's his inspiration, or that's just
how probably that... just in the blood.
Just in the blood,
just
man.
In the bloodline, it's like, you know...
Yeah, because it was really, really, like, mysterious, man. It was not what I was expecting. Technically, this would be my first time seeing it. And I'm like, dude, I did not expect all this stuff to happen, like, the way it did, the way it turned out, and all the mysterious, like, spiritual aspects of it. That was just going to be some, like, torture kind of chamber, but... I was wrong, man. This movie was really, really good. I enjoyed it. And I can't wait for Black Phone 2 to come out, because then it's going to be even more psychological, I assume.
I've heard reviews about the second one, and they're saying that it's actually better than the first one.
Really?
I'm not really sure how that happens, but, you know, it could be.
Hey,
but...
man, Spider-Man 2 is better than the first one, I think. Yeah. So you got to one up the.
Well, you also got to think, like, which Spider-Man, you know, like
Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. Yeah, the second one is always going to be the best.
Yeah,
one of the best ones. People are trying to come around for 3, but 2, I think, is probably where he one upped the first one. But yeah, this movie, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's actually free on Fandango at home. So if you don't mind the ads, you know, go check it out. And now, if you already own it on DVD. Then you're good. Then yeah. You've already seen this movie.
Yeah, you're gonna have to watch it anyways. It's, you know, yeah, you gotta go see part 2. You're gonna have to like refresh your memory.
Yeah, and we gotta go see part 2 because, you know, the reviews are good, man. We gotta go check it out. Yeah, man. First time seeing this, I was thinking it was gonna be just more of like a torture kind of movie, like kidnaps kids, tortures them, does like psychological torture on them and all that. But actually, it was way more than I actually, you know. Thought was going to happen. More spiritual aspects. Of course, kids are going missing in the town. And Finn, the main character, he ends up being captured too as well by the Grabber, who, you know, which is funny because, like, this is set in, what, 70s?
78.
78.
Yeah.
In Denver, Colorado.
Yep.
So, yeah, people... You know, this is like the height of like when serial killers were starting to come.
Oh, yeah. And this was like complete stranger danger. Yeah. This was like antithesis of stranger danger.
But you can even tell in the movie, even though the Grabber is still like going on, like people still like let their kids walk home.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were still lenient. Like it wasn't like affecting their minds like that. Like, you know, parents weren't scared to let their kids go home. They're like, those are those kids. Like that won't happen to mine. Now, like nowadays,
Now you don't trick or treat. You don't go outside. Yeah. You don't look at a stranger. I think a lot of that came, you know, for the younger audience that listens. I think a lot of that came in, you know, the early 80s when Adam Walsh, John Walsh's son, was kidnapped. They actually made a made-for-TV movie called Adam. And I can't tell you any kid that was raised in the early 80s or the mid-70s who didn't have to sit down on one Friday night and watch Adam. And, I mean, it was just, you know, piece of bomb, piece of Stranger Danger and just the paranoia. And I think that's when we started to, you know, for my age group, I think it was, you know, the death of innocence.
Yeah, true. Yeah, because now it's like, you know, nobody trick-or-treats anymore. I mean, I think the first time when me and my girl, when we first moved in together, we maybe like had a couple of trick-or-treaters at our door, and then like you could see it like dwindle, like, and then now there's none. Like the past two or three years, there's been none.
Yeah, we get like maybe six people, but we live in like track housing, and so
yeah. And it used to be like, you know, you
had the streets were crowded all night. I can remember going out at like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and there were still little creeps out there wandering around. You don't, you don't have that anymore.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, I understand, you know, that trunk or treat that they do, or, you know, they do some like events and stuff like that where kids can go safely trick or treat. It's great. But I don't know, man, just the, you know, that going out with your, going trick or treating with your friends, you know, your parents tell you to go be safe and, you know, you kind of go be a hoodlum for a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Get candy, harass a couple people, you know, have a little bit of fun. It's just not there anymore. And I don't think anybody, I mean, unless things change and people start to go back to that and starting to see like the kind of the nostalgic and the beauty of that time. I mean, it might come back, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to ever come back.
I don't know. If the, like the way that society is going right now, I don't ever see it coming back.
Yeah. It sucks. So. 'Cause that was like the best part of Halloween.
Yeah.
But oh, well, we'll see if it ever does come back. But yeah, that's what I noticed too in this movie is that obviously the time, but yeah, nobody, like, even though like kids are going missing and are not being found like quick, like you're still letting your kid walk home. You're
Life still goes on.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the kids are all building up this mysterious, you know, he's coined the grabber, but nobody obviously has any clues, any leads.
Yeah.
You know, and so Finn has a younger sister named Gwen, and she's pretty much, she's a clairvoyant.
Yeah. That's what it seems like. And her father, their father is like a drunk, abusive drunk.
Well, see, that's a crazy thing. Like, you know, you're talking about the same time period. And, you know, in the movie, the father actually works at a nuclear power plant. I think it was called Rocky Flats. And Rocky Flats was a nuclear power plant in the Denver metro area that had like numerous complaints, like EPA complaints and stuff filed on it. Because they were not safe at all.
Oh, my gosh.
So their dad is like, I mean, first of all, you can kind of tell he's kind of set back because, you know, obviously Gwen has dreams. And it's alluded to that mom was a clairvoyant also.
Yeah.
And she kind of had an issue and she, you know, she ended her own life.
Yeah.
So they kind of reference that. But, I mean, even with, you know, the late 70s and it's set, you know, and dad works at a nuclear power plant. Who knows if, you know, maybe Mr. Burns didn't turn the reactor one day and send dad over the deep end, you know?
That's true, yeah.
Because he's, like, drinking straight grain alcohol, like, you know, through the whole movie. And the kids are just like, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of like how we were when we were kids, like, as far as, you know, children of the 80s. Dad's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, no big deal. We're still going to get up and eat breakfast. We're still going to go to school. Hey, I still got to be in fourth grade. Like,
yeah.
You didn't just call it quits. Because, you know, dad had a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Mom's dead and dad has a drinking problem.
And also, okay, like, he beats her because of the cops show up to her school because she was talking to her friends about the black balloons, which were left at the crime scene. Now, she had never been to the crime scene, so how would she know that? So they're interviewing her because she saw it in her dream. And, you know, of course, the cops are doing, like, you know, they're doing like quick fire questions to get her to break or something like that. Even though she's not a freaking criminal, she's a little kid. And she's right. In the movie, she's like, dude, oh yeah, I'm the grabber. Like, I'm the one who took him. And
yeah, I grabbed a 16-year-old boy and like just, you know, subdued him and like drug him to my house and killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were questioning her because she knew details of the crime that nobody else knew, that weren't made public. And of course, the cops go around her dad's job, and he gets mad because, like, why are the cops snooping around? What did you tell them about your dreams and all that? So he, like, beats her with the belt. Now, I'll, of course, like, dude, come on, man. Like, you're not going to beat your little girl with the belt. But mentally, I understand where he's at because he lost his wife who had the same things happen to her, and she ended up taking her own life. So it's like, yeah, you don't want your daughter to go down the same path that her mom took. And end up losing her as well. But at the same time, dude, it's like, come on, you gotta control yourself. But I guess if you're just on a, you know, in depression that much, you know.
But I don't know. I mean, because like, I mean, I, you know, the story came out, the, obviously it was like a, it was a novella. Yeah. Just like his dad writes. Story came out in like in a short book, and it was like 2004. So the movie's made like 15 years later. Mm. But I'm not so sure with like, okay, just like Stephen King and all the stuff laid in there, other movies that you watch in the horror scene. I don't know. I kind of read into it as, what if the grabber was really the sub, I guess, the sub character of her father? Because remember, later in the movie, the grabber starts basically holding the belt. He has the belt. He has his shirt off. It's kind of like it gets alluded to. Like, she gets whipped on real. I mean, and it's abusive.
Yeah.
It's like straight on abusive. If you did that to your kid today, you'd be in like Pelican Bay, you know, all day. But Ethan Hawke's character of the grabber alludes a lot to the fact that, like, obviously he was abused.
Yeah.
And he, you know, and that's one thing I gotta, like, give this movie. Man, that mask.
Dude, the mask is sick, man.
The fact that the mask is all the different emotions.
Yeah, because he has, well, to me, it's like he's reading the kid. He has the no-mouth one when he first kidnaps Finn. There's no mouth, there's nothing, there's no expression. Then when he sees him the second time, he has the smile on. And then when Finn gets on his bad side, then he has the frown.
Yeah.
And it's like he's reading Finn, like he's trying to...
And he has the interlocking parts to where sometimes it's just the bottom of the mask. Sometimes it's just the top of the mask. It's, you know, it's a whole like psychological mind play. And like, but it comes across really well. It almost reminds me, I mean, I'm not trying to draw a comparative line to any of his dad's work, but if you saw Dr. Sleep.
Oh, yeah.
So Dr. Sleep, you know, it kind of had that whole, you know, creepy kidnapping kids thing. And it had all that down to a pat, you know, the kids dying, being killed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the grabber is just a great character. I mean, it just honestly, because it shows like, kind of like how we've talked about many times in many movies that we've reviewed, it's the monster's next door.
Yeah.
The monster's your neighbor. Like, you don't know who it is, but, like, literally, like, it's, you know, it's not some hulking demon. It's not, you know, Leatherface lurking in the corner. It's your next-door neighbor. And that's kind of, like, what we were talking about when we first started this review is that was the whole pinpoint of the kids still going on with their lives, even though there's a killer on the street.
Yeah. They're just, you know, because they don't know who it is.
Yeah, they don't know who it is, but, I mean, it's not going to retract from their lives. It's not going to detract from what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even in there, they're talking about, which is funny, is the before Robin gets kidnapped, they're talking about going to see Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which was one of the first movies to show, like, hey, you know, the monster is not always like some demon or some creature.
Sci-fi alien, yeah.
It's which we talked about in our Texas Chainsaw episode. It showed that, hey, man, these backwoods people or, you know, these people that are living, you know, in your area could be the monster, too. They could be the killer. And it's so crazy that they used that movie. I mean, yes, it did come out at the time that the movie set in, but still to use that movie as like, hey, you know, we're talking about your neighbor being the killer. Here are them they're talking about a movie where, you know, somebody can be the killer. A common person can be the killer, or some like hillbilly in the backwoods can be a killer.
Yeah.
You know, not always like, yeah, like you said, a sci-fi creature or anything like that, which I thought was a pretty cool reference in the movie. I was like, okay, I see what they're doing there. Yeah. But yeah, man, I mean, yeah, you're right. They have to go on with their lives. And yeah, their dad being, you know, an
which
abusive
is funny
drunk, yeah.
Because like what I found to be like completely like the antithesis of that is when Finn gets kidnapped, when the grabber gets Finn, Gwen, like, goes out looking for him in the middle of the night. Because, like I said, dad's an alcoholic. He's probably passed out, pissed, drunk.
Yeah.
It's 11 o'clock. She gets on her red Schwinn apple crate special or whatever it was. And she's out there, like, busting tail in fall in Denver, where it's probably cold as hell, you know. And plus it's raining on her. And she's riding around looking for this house that she sees in her dreams.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, nothing's going to stop her. Nothing's going to stop these kids from doing what they've got to do.
And what was crazy with them is while he was like abusive, he was still a dad. Like he was still like being somewhat caring. Because I, like I said, I don't think he was like drunk or like an angry drunk. I think he was just mad at the world, you know, mad at what happened to his wife, which a lot of people, you know, you talk to about their father. They're like, no, he was abusive. He beat the crap out of all of us. Yeah. But with him, you can kind of see a reason, even though, of course, you know, we don't agree with that reason. You can understand it and be like, yeah, I get why he's doing it. But, dude, still, don't do it. But, yeah, and again, went back to the grabber. He's, yeah, it's like he's, it's like some kind of like you said, reflecting like the father or something.
Well, what I liked about, you know, in the book, in the original story, in the novella, the grabber actually was a clown.
Oh, okay.
And so what I really liked about it is that when, you know, obviously Joe Hill and Blumhouse wanted to adapt it into a film, it was around that time when, like, it had had its resurgence and everything. And so they were kind of like, hey, listen, we're going to, you know, basically because obviously with Blumhouse, Ethan Hawke had worked with him before in Sinister.
Yeah.
And they actually referenced the movie in The Black Phone because when Finn is given like this, every single character that he comes to play with that calls him on the black phone, gives him like little pieces to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
Well, when they call him at one point, they tell him that essentially there's a wire hidden in the wall. And so he pulls the wire and it's almost like the scene in Sinister where he's dragging it across, you know, the wall. And so that was their, you know, that was them throwing homage to Sinister.
I'm glad they didn't do a clown. I think it would have been too much of a comparison to his dad's work.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was so happy that they made the grappler, you know, what they did and not a clown.
Yeah. Yeah, because, yeah, I think it would have just been too much comparison.
I think it would have read, like, especially due to the fact that all of the victims were little boys, it would have read way too Gacy to me.
True, yeah.
You know, it would have been the killer clown.
And maybe that was the inspiration down in of the novella.
It was part. And then with, like, the characters, like, for instance, Paperboy, it was actually a reference to, what was that kid's name? Johnny Gosch in Iowa. Mm-hmm. He was actually a child who was abducted. He was a paperboy. And he was abducted, and they found his bike, and they found his dog. He went out one morning to deliver papers, and lo and behold, the dog and the bike turned up, but the kid was gone. He's never been seen or heard from ever again. So, yeah, it's all these little, like, you know, all these little snippets from around that time, you know, Gacy, that. But I'm completely happy with the fact that, you know, with everything going on now with, you know, kind of the proliferation of, like, the over-proliferation of clowns. Man, everything's a clown now. You got Art the Clown, Pennywise the Clown. And not that I'm knocking this. I mean, like, I love those characters, but...
But to see something kind of original is, like, with a demon mask and all that.
And
like,
see that you wrote it one way, and then it's translated a completely different way on film. That's...
Yeah, or with a very old, like, French masquerade mask, or, you know... I like that way better than, you know, having the... clown.
Yeah.
I think it would have just taken away. And the magician part of it.
Yeah.
You know, with the disappearances of your kid. Yeah, it's like a crazy play on, you know, word. Yeah, he's a magician. He can make things disappear just like he's making your kids disappear. Like, which was great.
I don't know, though. The fact that your neighbors don't ever say anything about the fact that you drive a black van that reads Abracadabra on the side. That was, in the 70s, don't get me wrong, man. We had freaking Franzati paintings of dragons and, like, hookahs all over our trucks. Aztec gods and stuff. Man, we had all that online.
True, yeah.
Okay.
But that was a culture more than just a job. But, dude,
if you're driving around with a top hat and an abracadabra van, bro, I'm going to ask some questions. But apparently, you know, his neighbors were just like, peace, dude. He's, you know, he's living there in this house with his brother and his dog, Samson. You know, he's a normal guy.
Oh, he's not normal. He's not a normal dude. Even his brother, because his brother obviously lives with them. You find out that the brother is living with
them. That's a pot calling the kettle black with his brother saying someone's weird.
You know what's crazy, though, is that when the cops go to investigate his brother, and he's like, yeah, I've been following the kid because he's like coked up. He's like following all the disappearances, right? And they don't even catch on to it. Like, it's weird that you're so invested into this. Of course, yes, at the time, people couldn't put two and two together. It wasn't later till you found out that some killers, serial killers, like to insert themselves in the investigation to to make it, you know, to kind of move in the shadows, like, so nobody would ever suspect them.
Yeah, they get to sit back. I mean, it's just like Zodiac, you know. Zodiac went and killed people, and then he released letters to, you know, the newspapers and such.
Yeah.
And they would post, like, his manifestos and stuff. And, you know, he sat back and read it and, like, got off on
Or Ed Kemper, who was friends with the police department, he... You know, they never suspected him. He's, oh, he's a fun guy. He always chilled with us. Well, yeah, if he can make you like him, of course you're not going to suspect him. There was some serial killers who they would kidnap and kill somebody, and then they would join the search party, even though they knew they're the ones who kill them. So
better chance of finding the victim.
Yeah. So it's crazy that they never suspected the brother of being, like, somewhat involved, even though he wasn't involved.
They didn't even care that he was coked out, man. He had, like, fat lines on his brother's table.
That was crazy, is that, yeah, he has lines on the table, and they're just like...
They're also more than likely homicide detectives.
True, yeah.
So being homicide detectives, are you really going to, like... I mean, I don't see many homicide detectives out there giving parking tickets.
Yeah, but you would think at the time, too, with the drug stuff, like the stigma on drugs, even though coke, yes, is bad... they would be, like, a little more harsh on it. Like, hey, man, we're going to take you in because you're doing hard drugs and we might suspect you're part of this.
Yeah, but the late 70s, everybody was on coke.
True.
Coke was, like, really, you know, it was really dominant in the scene.
Yeah, it was America's cup of coffee.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. So nobody probably were just like, dude, it's like a little leftover line. Like, I'm not going to sweat it, you know. And and so, like I said, probably also they're probably, I mean, even though they weren't, like, really pompous cops, especially, well, the dude with the mustache was probably like, dude, I'm a freaking detective. I work my way off of the streets. I'm not going to sit here and bust you on some BS, you know, line of coke charge, you know. Plus the fact that Samson's knocking on the door, yelling his little, barking his ass off, you know. You can tell by the sound from behind the door, that dog had some, you know, that dog has some fangs on him, so.
Probably had some coke, too.
Probably, I mean.
It's a beautiful dog, though, exactly. Man. That's a nice dog. I liked it. I really do like the... He was, like, very pitch black looking. Yeah,
Samson was a pure black cane corso that belonged to the grabber.
And he was beautiful, man. Beautiful dog.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. Vicious, but I loved the dog.
Eating raw meat, but that's okay.
But it was so cool to see that the black phone was something that, you know, that the spirits used to communicate with Finn, pretty much. Like, there was, like, little steps that each of them did to kind of get to...
Yeah, they were trying... Everybody, all the kids that were obviously abducted, they were trying to escape.
Yeah.
And they left, like, little, you know, like little breadcrumbs. And so these little breadcrumbs, you know, each person, even though they can't remember really who they were, they just, a lot of them keep, remembering, like, certain points, and they keep repeating themselves.
Yeah.
And so, like, Bruce, he's a baseball player, and you meet him in the beginning of the movie, and, you know... He tells Finn, you know, you almost had me, essentially, is what he's telling him.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you have a great arm. And all that comes into play, and eventually it's little pieces from each person's story that culminate in Finn basically being able to, you know, destroy the grabber.
Yeah, to set all the kids free.
Or so you think, until part two.
Until part two, which means he's in spirit form now.
But see, he was already in touch with the spirit world because, remember, when Finn is picking up the phone... The grabber keeps telling him that the phone is broken. Yeah. Nobody can hear you. But then everybody keeps reiterating that there was a point where the grabber always hears the phone ring.
Yeah.
And he knows that the phone's ringing. So, dude, obviously he's already in touch.
Yeah, he's already in tune.
He's already in touch with the other side. So what, I mean, obviously I'm pretty hyped up, looking forward to the movie. But I'm totally wondering how they're going to pull that out. That he comes back, because in the previews, like, he says he's back from hell.
So, I'm wondering how you know, what's going to be in the second, how the story continues. Because, man, I'm excited to see it. Yeah, because that ending was pretty cool. The whole sparring with the spirit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, he gets some tips on how to fight, because finally, you know, Finn has to defend himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's what he's been... being told.
Bullies, man, are just, you know, crazy. Yeah.
Robin Arellano's been telling him through the whole movie that basically he has to defend himself.
Yeah, stick up for himself.
Stand up for himself. And so, you know, he tells him to, you know, basically fill up the receiver on the phone with dirt.
Yeah.
And then when the grabber comes for him, you know, take one step back, lean in, hit, strike. And so he acts it out like calisthenics and does it over and over again, repetitiously, until, you know, he's got it down pat.
Yeah.
This is how he's going to take the grabber down. I was not expecting him to get, like, choked with the phone cord and snap his freaking neck.
Yeah.
I mean, but that was a great move because that was kind of, you know, that was kind of like what Robin did to the bully.
Yeah.
You know, he took his, you know, arm, twisted it up, grabbed him by the neck, and pretty much choked him out.
Yeah.
And then once he got him on the ground, you know, beat the holy hell out of him. So.
I mean, I get it. He's a bigger dude than
him. Oh, yeah.
He was a bigger dude than him, so yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like Robin said. I mean, you know, Finn said you didn't have to, like, beat the hell out of him to that point. And they're like, the fans want blood. Like, it's a blood sport. The fans demand more.
Yeah.
I had to show the fans.
Yeah, he you know, if he wouldn't have died, he would have gone on to start the first USC, the ultimate.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I saw a little ball-headed kid in the back corner. That was Joe Rogan. Little Joe Rogan.
And that's where he got the inspiration. Or no, it would be Dana White. Dana White would get the inspiration for it. To do the ultimate fighting. Yeah, man. Ethan Hawke played the grabber great, man. I mean, from what he usually plays, like the very serious roles, so playing this, obviously it is still a serious role, but just the way he portrays him, like very, I wouldn't say kid-like, but kind of like, I don't know, like a jester,
yeah.
Kind of. And I guess that's what you can kind of, you know, see his mask is kind of like too. It's yeah. Like just a jester, you know?
Not the movie, The Jester.
No, not the movie.
An actual jester.
Yeah, an actual jester.
But it is similar. The mask is improvised in the movie, The Jester. You can tell that's kind of where they got the, I mean, you know, sue me for copyright infringement or something. But yeah, that mask.
I mean, inspiration. Like, I mean, if that's what it is, then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Yeah. I mean, I love The Jester too. So, but yeah, he's very like, you know, like, toyish. He's very like playing with you pretty much. Like a clown. I mean,
very
I guess,
animated.
Yeah. He's like a clown.
But he's a sad clown.
Yeah.
He's like a like what I get out of it is like the old I think it was I don't know, I could be mistaken as far as years ago, but He Who Laughs Last, mm-hmm. where they actually got the inspiration for the Joker, that guy with those big teeth. And his face was naturally like that.
Yeah.
And it was an old silent movie. And I think that's probably where they got, like, that face. And so, yeah, technically Black Phone is just impersonating that or honoring that.
Back to the emotions on the mask where he changes them, it's kind of like, okay, when he has he has the whole mask, but he has the no mouth. It's like he's assessing his own feelings, right? He doesn't feel any way towards Finn yet. When he's wearing the happy face, him himself is not happy. Like, he's more sad, but it's kind of like putting a front. Like, it's like everybody. We all wear a mask, you know, we all put in a smile and keep going through. And maybe that's what it is. It's like he's trying to play a mind game with Finn. He's wearing a happy face, but inside he feels sad. You know, when he gets closer to playing the game, the naughty boy, that's because remember, they say that's his favorite part, but he has a frown on. But it's like, well, that's his favorite part. Wouldn't he be happy? It's like, yeah, because he's just playing mind tricks. Like it's more intimidation than anything, wouldn't you think? Like, that's why he's wearing the.
I think it's all kinds of things. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just got way too much out of this movie, or maybe I just went too far, you know, down the rabbit hole. But like, literally, like looking at the mask, it's like it's reflective of, you know, smile now, cry later. Kind of, you know.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So it reminded me of that, like as far as the mask goes. And then it comes down to the fact that obviously he remembers playing Naughty Boy. And so you can see like the sorrow in his eyes, but it was just, I mean, every single emotion is just emoted with that mask. And I think it's so cool that it's like interlocking.
But yeah.
It goes back to the fact of like, you know, life is a stage and you just keep going, which goes back to, you know, these kids having all this crazy violent stuff and these kids being, you know, abused and all this stuff going on, but they just keep gunning. They just keep going
because
life's a stage and you just keep going. And, you know, that's what I get from, you know, the grabber is that he was abused as a kid. Like he had to play this game somewhere. He had to have learned this somewhere.
Yeah.
And so he's just acting out the things that he's seen, which is weird because his brother, I mean, except for the coke addiction, he seems kind of normal. I mean, yeah, no. It sounds like his life is kind of thrashed up, you know, like, I moved from Durango, man. You know, it seems like, you know, maybe there's a bad divorce, maybe too many Miller High Life tall cans,
yeah.
You know, too much Colorado piss water, something happened, and he's just not a happy cat, right? But still, he's normal. I mean, yeah, he's at his brother's house, you know, building crime maps and crap on the wall. But, you know, he's Joe 1978. That's yeah. Not, you know, there's not a whole lot weird about this guy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So why is he normalized, but, you know.
Something had, I mean, maybe that's just the route they took, man. You know, he got the coke addiction. His brother got psychologically traumatized, yeah, and is now taking it out on other kids. That could be it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean.
Maybe he bore the brunt of his father's abuse.
Could be that too, yeah.
Because Finn doesn't get hit.
Yeah,
Finn gets verbally abused. Like, he gets yelled at.
But he doesn't get hit like his sister does.
His sister gets holy. She get gollywopped on, bro. He punishes that girl.
I mean, she did drop his vodka.
But, dude, come on, man. He, like, beats that butt, and then he's like, don't sit down on it. Don't put no ice on it. Sit down on it. I want you to know. And it's like, that's
some old school beatings right there, man.
That's some sadistic, I got my Switch thing going on.
That's See, when people talk about hitting their kids, they think it's that. It's not that. You know, you gotta tap your kids a little bit so they understand. But I'm not saying take the bell and freaking, you know, 9 lashes on them.
Well, what if they break your vodka? I mean,
they deserve it. No, I'm just joking.
But that was a $7 bottle of vodka.
I'm just joking.
I mean, come on, bro.
$7 at that time would be about $23 now, probably.
About that.
Yeah, probably about $23 vodka. I would have lost my shit, too. No, I'm just like, I'm joking.
$23, I punch a kid in his face.
Joking, of course. I would not do that. But yeah, man, the whole movie was great. It was a great watch, especially seeing it for the first time for me. People are gonna be like, man, you should have seen this a long time ago. You should have been watch a lot of stuff. I just didn't get into this one.
Yeah.
And bittersweet. I mean, hey, yes, I wish I would have saw it first, but now I'm seeing it for the episode, seeing it for the first time. And it was great, man. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
It's good to sleep on things sometimes. It's good to it's like wine. Sometimes you gotta let it sit on the shelf.
Yeah.
Open it up.
And now that the second one came out, now I can back to back. Now I can watch both of them for the first time.
Yeah. In a 1 week period.
Yeah. And get a good fresh view of them.
Yeah.
You know. And we'll talk about Black Phone 2 next week and see, you know, how
it
was.
Yeah. And if you like this story, I mean, I've got to put that in there. I actually got originally into Joe Hill because Nosferatu. And if any of y'all out there have Shudder, that is a great series. It was on AMC. And I caught bits and pieces on AMC, but I've been revisiting it on Shudder. That storyline is just amazing. It's kind of got the same feel. It's got abducted children. It's got obviously your clairvoyance.
Yeah.
All that. And if you like this line, Joe Hill's your cup of coffee. Like, that's just, you know, if you're into Stephen King and the more mysterious nature of that, his son just comes through and
he has more of a sinister kind of side to it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's some dark stuff in a lot of Stephen King's work, but I don't know, maybe it's because he's younger and he has a more modern take on some of the stuff, because with Stephen King, obviously a lot of stuff is set in Maine or in up north, northeast, you know, stuff like that. Whereas his son is it's set here, but it has a more darker vibe to it, I guess you could say. Darker than his father, I guess you could say.
King has even when you see King's appearances in movies, I mean, I don't care. You can walk through anyone. Creepshow. It was comedic. Yeah. He's the goofball, the goofball maintenance guy. And then if you go through in Sleepwalkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the goofy guy who takes care of the cemetery. And it's all and he keeps telling that story repetitiously. And everybody's go talk to the detective. Get the hell away from me.
Yeah.
But he's always got those goofy kind of campy. Joe Hill doesn't really.
And maybe because he's a director, too.
Possible.
He has that. Because Stephen King just wrote the novels and people adapted them into film.
Yeah. Kubrick.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about that, right? That's an episode within itself.
But maybe because he's more, towards the film stuff, man. Maybe that's why he can actually put it into his own words onto the screen and be like, yeah, this is it right here. So yeah, I enjoyed it, man. I loved this movie. You know, it's probably one of my top now. So I can't wait to see what the sequel has in store for us, man. It looks pretty good.
And you can get your own black foam popcorn bucket.
Yeah, you got the black foam cup, man.
I got the cup. The cup's cool.
The cup is sick.
I don't know about the popcorn bucket. I'm a little skeptical.
The cup is way more. You're going to get more use out of the cup than you are going to get out of the popcorn bucket. Even if you just have it sitting on the shelf, it's textured very well. It has
I can put my $7 vodka in it and, you know, go outside and beat my kids. Just kidding. My kid is like, he's trained and he's 17. We ain't swinging on him.
But yeah, the cup was pretty cool, man. I liked that. I liked the cup. I got to get me one, man.
I mean, it's sad because we're pretty much at this point. Everyone who's a fan right now is going to basically have to buy their own house just to store all the popcorn bucket crap.
That's what I liked about it's a bittersweet with the horror becoming more mainstream now. Because now they're coming out with, like, actual stuff for the movies now. More stuff. Yeah, you would have, like, your special editions, especially back then, maybe in the 80s, you know, 90s. You had your special edition stuff that you can buy or whatever, you know, throw an arm, you know, and a leg in there, and you'll get your, you know, special edition bucket of, you know, I don't know, Blade Runner or something, you know? Whereas now, like, you know, every movie, especially horror movies, are going to have them now. Now you have, like, stuff that's being made for specific movies. They did it with Megan that we saw was on sale
for $5. If anybody wants a Megan popcorn bucket, it's on sale.
I want to review that movie.
Megan 2.0.
2.0. That's what it was, 2.0.
2.0.
They had that. They have stuff for the Disney, which, I think they've always had the Disney stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, with horror now, you're getting more. You're getting popcorn buckets. You're getting, you know.
I mean, even, like, this year, what? We got, okay, so we got Fanta. Fanta kicked it up.
Oh, and dude, yeah, they have their horror-themed.
You got the Haddonfield Halloween.
Yeah, orange
Fanta.
Orange Fanta. No, it wasn't orange, was it? It was pineapple.
It's Yeah.
The Freddy Fazbear is the orange.
The orange.
Chucky's Fruit Punch.
And Black Phone is
oh my gosh, what was Black Phone?
Strawberry.
Was it the strawberry
one? I think he's strawberry.
Yeah, because yeah, they have one for each of those, which was.
But I mean, everybody's kicking it.
Everybody's
up,
doing it, man.
Like, and, you know, I like the fact that they're actually marketing. You know, that's.
Yeah, it's very rare because when I wanted stuff like horror wise, I couldn't get it. Insidious was like, still is, which they announced a new Insidious. It's probably one of my favorite of that. Like a spiritual demon franchise. Conjuring is good, but I prefer Insidious more. They don't have anything now. Who knows? Maybe they'll come out with like a Red Door, you know, I don't know, popcorn bucket or something.
Who knows? I mean, like you said, the new one's coming out, so.
We'll see. We'll see what they come out with. Yeah. Especially Nosferatu, I think, had the coolest ones.
Nosferatu, that was when I really started to take notice.
Yeah.
Then the monkey. I mean, Nosferatu, and then the monkey came out with that, man, with that monkey shine bucket. Done deal. Had to have it. Like, I had to ship them in from California because we don't have that theater out here.
Yeah, we don't have the
AMC.
AMC theaters.
Yeah, so unfortunately. That was the only place carrying the monkey. So, yeah, we had to come through on that. We had to call in the California Connect on that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was, you know.
Well, I got the other popcorn, but I got the tin bucket.
Yeah.
With the monkey on it.
That one's cool because that one is actually like metal. So it's, you know, it's pressed metal. So it can be used for like a trash can in your restroom.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you know, spooky horror theme. Yeah, so.
Take a spooky dookie.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, because, I mean, before it used to be, if you wanted horror themed anything, you had to wait till Spirit Halloween came around, you know, during Halloween season. And then you can go there and buy like your themed items, your themed shirts, stuff like that, or you know, and now it's great because now Hot Topic carries horror stuff year round, a bunch of like, I guess, what would it be like, you know, novelty stores.
There's even horror themed novelty shops. Yeah. Now
they're starting to carry stuff and it's great. It's cool because, you know, I'm glad they're doing it now when I can have an income than when I didn't have an income and would probably just blow my money on all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, I'm glad they're doing it. So, you know, I can't wait to see Black Phone 2. I need to get that cup, man. And all the other horror movies that are coming out.
Speaking of that, I've got to give, like, completely. If you are in Lubbock and you like horror movies, you need to go out and see Guillermo del Toro's
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. It literally is coming to our draft house. And I have got to say, like,
which is rare.
Super rare. So if we go out and we support it and we see it, it's going to cause, obviously, more
of a stir
here in our community.
Because there's so many movies, especially with, like, the childhood,
Twisted
Childhood series. You know, we saw Winnie the Pooh, Blood Honey 2. We couldn't see Peter Pan.
We couldn't see Bambi.
And we couldn't see Bambi. So if we support some of these movies, they would, like, start bringing more horror movies, especially ones that aren't as popular, to these theaters, instead of playing the same freaking movie that no one's going to watch. Dude, they had Snow White, you know, in theater, which already had bad reviews. It was already getting flack for all their stuff already, but it was already, you know, when it first came out, it, like, didn't even make anything at the box office.
Yeah, and it was still playing in
2 weeks, and I'm like, dude, why is this still in theaters?
Yeah, and for, and not just like one or two screenings, like, you know, not just one or two
all day, like
it literally was playing like 12 times a day in seven different theaters.
Yeah,
like seven different like viewing rooms.
Yeah,
and I'm like, why? Like, yeah. We don't need this much Snow White.
Yeah. I mean, dude, but I would rather support somebody who actually loved Frankenstein, especially, like, the original, if we're talking about film-wise, the original film, and actually was inspired to take on the work that he took on. You know, we wouldn't have, like, you know, Labyrinth and, you know, freaking Shape of Water, Hellboy, stuff like that we love today. We probably wouldn't have that. And for him to, you know, finally make the movie of the monster that, you know, he loved.
Yeah.
Here we go. Or still loves. I mean, dude, yeah. So if you're in the Lubbock area, go support Alamo Drafthouse on that day. It comes out October at the end of this year.
It comes out on the 17th.
Oh, or on the 17th. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes out next week.
Yeah. And, dude, show some support.
Or no, pardon me. It comes out tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow. So.
But it runs through till the 3rd. So if you can't make it this week, like, I'm not going to be able to.
This weekend. Yeah.
I'm working this weekend. But
technically, it'll come out today when this comes out. So,
yeah. But I'm definitely gonna be, you know, going to see that because. Yeah.
So if you want to have a weekend of just horror here in Lubbock, dude, you got Black Phone 2 and you got Frankenstein.
Yeah, and the Draft House has Creepshow movie party, I think, on Sunday. Yeah. So, yeah, get out there and support it.
Yeah.
I mean,
because, dude, I don't know what it is, but for some reason, every time in this town, it doesn't feel like Halloween. Sometimes
no,
it doesn't feel like spooky season.
Well, that and the fact that it's 81 degrees today.
That's true. That's what I hate. It needs to be cold. It needs to be, like, you know, really, really cold. It doesn't get cold here, unfortunately, that often. But thank y'all guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Go check out Black Phone 2. You know, we're going to talk about it next weekend, so tell us what you thought about it. We, you know, we'll tell you what we think about it next week, next Friday. And if you're in the Lubbock area, please go support, you know, the movie Frankenstein by Guillermo del Toro.
Absolutely.
You know, to try to get some kind of movement here in Lubbock. Other than that, guys, thank y'all so much for listening, and we will see y'all
next week.